Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. No matter what's going on and how confused you might be, how troubled you might be, God's not wondering about the answer. He already knows. Huh?
That's right.
And once you see it and know it, the clouds fly away.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And he committed to us and told us that no matter what happened, that there was no temptation or trial that had happened to anybody in this life, but it's what's, you know, common to man. But God won't allow us to be tested, tried, pushed beyond what we can deal with. But he always provides a way of escape.
Yes, he does.
There's a way out.
Yes.
Maybe you can't see it, but God sees it.
Amen.
It's clear to him.
Right.
And he'll show us. So, Father, we do. We ask you to show us the way through, the way out,
yes,
the way over,
yes,
the way to total overcoming victory,
yes,
in you. And we ask for utterance and direction and help today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The scripture says, Jesus said in John 8, you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. Well, the light is liberating.
Yes.
But the enemy works opposite. If the truth will make you free, lies will bind you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what would you need to be free from? Well, he goes on to talk about sin in the following verses, but sin is connected to lies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you go back to the book of Genesis, before there was a sin, there was a lie,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And to get free from the bondage and from the failure, you got to get free from the lie.
Yes.
How do you get free from the lie? See, being deceived is believing the lie is true.
Yeah.
If you knew it was a lie, you wouldn't be deceived.
That's right.
Can you see this?
Yes.
And the Bible says that the devil has blinded the whole world. And deceived. He's deceived the whole world. And the whole world lies under the sway, 1 John 5 says, and power of darkness. Except for those who have come into the light.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Who've been delivered,
yes,
from darkness.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And brought into his marvelous light.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
Bright light. Glorious light. And that's what this book is full of, is glorious light, glorious truth. His word is truth. And so the reason we're doing what we're doing, and we've been spending time on faith for provision and giving all the reasons, all of this is light. All of this is truth. And it enlightens your eyes and mind so that you see the truth. And when you see the truth, when the light comes on, you see the roaches.
Yes.
And you see the nasty stain and dirt that somebody didn't clear. As long as it's dark, you don't see it. You might think it's okay. But when the light comes on, what is that? And the light will enable you to be free. Well, we're looking at the light of God's word for provision.
Yes.
And hallelujah. I know this some 40 some years ago, this revelation changed Phyllis, my wife, and myself's life so radically. She grew up Catholic. I grew up Baptist and Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm.
And we had been in church,
yeah,
and not knocking any of that, thankful for what we got there. But we had not heard that God actually wanted you to have something,
yes,
materially,
right,
or financially,
mm-hmm,
or that he'd want you to have nice things,
yes,
fine things. That was a foreign concept. And when you first heard it, you thought, oh, that can't be right. You know, because money's the root of all evil. Which is not what the scripture said. But how many people jump on that, right? They go, oh, that's right. Yeah, you can't. And we're even singing songs in the traditional church about, I don't want any of this whole world's goods. I don't want any, as long as I can have Jesus. Well, how about having both? Yeah. What about, could is it possible to have Jesus and pay your bills?
Yes.
Huh? And have a good place to. Amen. We saw it. It took us a bit, but we saw it. And when we saw it, oh, something went off inside of us. And we've not stopped from that day to this coming up.
Amen.
He brought us out of poverty.
Amen.
And lack. And he brought us out of the land of not enough, mm-hmm, into the land of just enough.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
And that's a victory, brother.
Yeah.
Some of you say, well, I don't like that. Yeah, you do. It's better than not enough.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But then he didn't stop there.
Yeah.
I said, he didn't stop there. He brought us from not enough to just enough. And then he said, come on, keep coming. Keep coming. Come up higher. And he'll bring you into more than enough. More than enough. And to the point where we have churches, we have ministries, we have outreach. And just a couple of days ago, we were able to help, I think, the 50th church we've helped since COVID not lose their building.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
That's more than enough.
Yes.
Is that right?
Hallelujah.
More than enough.
Yes.
Not only are our bills paid, but see, if you believe the traditional stuff, that being broke and poor is holy, and having substance and having wealth, oh, that's worldly, that's ungodly. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Yes.
It's a subtle thing, and this lie is gripping and robbing millions of Christians.
Yes.
They won't even try to believe to meet their own needs, much less believe for a lot above to help somebody else. Not everybody's going to believe this, which is why it's so important that you do,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So that you not only get plenty yourself, but you get more than enough, that God can use you to help other people until they wake up to this and start believing for themselves. I want to see a show of hands. Who will volunteer to be some of God's go-to people, right? To not just meet your needs, but load you up.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
With overflow and surplus and abundance,
yes,
that he can use you as a conduit,
yes,
to help others.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say, here I am, Lord.
Here I am, Lord.
Use me.
Use me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you're serious and you're somebody that listened to him, now you got to be able to listen to him with $5.
Yes.
Or you don't qualify for $5 million.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
If you listen to him, do what he says with the smaller amounts, you'll find it'll just keep getting bigger.
Yes.
It won't all happen overnight or in a month, but it'll just keep getting bigger, 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 and you'll be shouting.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That God is using you to help somebody else, help answer their prayers, help their dream and vision come to pass. It's the most wonderful thing. Go with me to Exodus again, the 35th chapter. We're down to reason number 19, I believe it is, in our study of 30, of why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And this is because of the tabernacle, God's tabernacle. When God brought his people out of Egyptian slavery and bondage, brought them through the Red Sea, and he did all kind of miracles for them, and he got them to the place at Mount Sinai where he told Moses he was going to meet with them and enter into a covenant with them, and they would be his people, he'd be their God. And, you know, usually when God says that, messengers are involved, angels are involved, but this time he comes himself.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up himself,
mm-hmm,
on the mountaintop.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fearsome. It was awesome. It was overpowering to them. It scared them greatly. And the mountain was on fire. And he called Moses up to come and receive from him his law and his statutes and ordinances. And right after he gave the Ten Commandments and a few statutes, one of the first things he says is, tell the people to bring me an offering. Mm-hmm. And then he tells what? He says, we're going to build a tabernacle. Mm-hmm. And the things, he gave the specific layout of it and the specific materials. Mm-hmm. In Exodus 35 and verse 4, I'm going to read this out of the NIV. Moses said to the whole Israelite community, this is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, let me just stop right here. From what you have. He's about to say gold. How many know before you can give gold? Well, this is one of the best revelations you will have in the day, right? He's about to tell them, come bring me an offering. And if you look at the whole thing, he's talking about tons. Tons of gold, silver, bronze, brass. He's talking about who knows how much yardage of the best precious leathers, fabrics. He's talking about gemstones. He's talking about diamonds, emeralds, rubies, sapphires. Tell me what has to happen before you can give diamonds. Class, y'all going to help me with this. Before you can give rubies, you got to have you some rubies. Is that right? Before you can give pearls, huh? Before you can give a ton of gold? Now, you got to remember, these people, not too many days ago, owned nothing. Nothing. They were slaves. They were property. Huh? They had nothing. Why am I saying this? You may say, well, I can't do all that. I don't have it. They didn't have it either. Until they did. And it didn't take God long. Oh, somebody should be shouting. It didn't take God long. Until they were loaded with it.
Thank you, Jesus.
They went from having none to being loaded. Does God still do work in the earth? Huh? Is he still building his church? Huh? Is he still sending his gospel to every nation and kindred and tongue and people? Does it still require means, ability, substance? We'll go into more detail eventually, but God got them the substance before they ever knew there was going to be a tabernacle. Huh? He knows what he's doing. He's got a plan. But if you're not open to receiving these things, if you think it's wrong, then you interfere with his plan. Well, I don't need all that. We're not just talking about you. Who said you had to keep it all? Or spend it all on yourself? But God needs people that won't block him, that won't fight him on this, that will agree with him and believe and receive. Hallelujah. And before that's going to happen, you got to get rid of this religious tradition about money being bad and stuff being bad. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil, not the money. And so he said, from what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who's willing to bring to the Lord an offering of gold. I want to hear you say gold.
Gold.
Silver.
Silver.
Bronze.
Bronze.
Does God like gold?
Oh, yes.
Where did gold come from?
He created it.
Huh? Who created gold?
God.
God created gold.
Yeah.
So don't you be bad-mouthing gold.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
God created silver.
Yeah.
Money used to be based on gold.
Yeah.
Money's paper.
Yeah.
Paper. Which in and of itself is not worth anything more than paper. But what it is was basically a promissory note that this shows this is backed up with gold and silver in the treasury. And for many years it was, until somebody had the idea we can break apart from that. And so that's why when you get apart from something like that, things can be lost in a day. You can have the bottom fall out, and nowadays it's all ones and zeros on somebody's server.
Yeah, that's it.
Which means you need to get to know God.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You need to get to know Him.
Yes.
And know who your source is.
Yes.
And listen to Him.
Yes, sir.
But He is the one who created gold.
Mm-hmm.
And He created silver. And He created all the precious metals. He created platinum.
Yes.
Any platinum fans?
Yes.
In the class?
Yes.
He created diamonds.
Yes.
He created rubies.
Yes.
Sapphires. And that's what He's asking for now, for His tabernacle and for His priests. He said, that's what I want. That's the building materials I want. The reason I keep talking about this is because a whole bunch of the church now thinks that sounds wrong. That just sounds wrong to them, talking about a bunch of gold and a bunch of silver. That's because you're so far removed from the Bible.
Yes.
Can you see this?
Yes.
What do you think you're going to see when you get to heaven?
Yes.
Somebody doesn't know. Go to Revelation. Go to the book of Revelation. Huh? And the 21st chapter. I want to hear you say it out loud. God. Made gold.
God
likes gold.
If He likes gold,
I like gold.
Whatever He likes,
I like. We're talking about mind renewal. In Revelation 21, He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. 21:1. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. That's the one we're on right now. It's gone. But don't despair. God made us a new one.
Yes.
He made the first one. And here's something to realize. Sin has messed this up so bad, it can't be fixed.
Yeah.
Just needs to be replaced.
Yeah.
It's okay with me. I like new.
Yeah.
Don't you like new?
Yes.
I like new.
Yes.
Yeah, let's go with a new one. Quit trying to fix this up. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven said, behold. Behold means look. The what?
Tabernacle.
The what?
Tabernacle
of God is with men. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is in our imminent future.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
We are soon to see and hear this firsthand.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Now, in verse 10, He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, is sparkling like a diamond. like a precious gem. And the wall was great and high and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, north 3 gates, south 3 gates, west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and that was the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And verse 18, the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. It's so pure that it's clear like glass, but it's gold. God likes gold. I said, He likes gold. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of what? Of what? How many preachers have you heard? How many stiff, confused Christians have you heard talking about, did you see the size of that ring they had? Oh, did you see that string of pearls? Ain't no telling how much that cost. Oh, did you see that watch? Oh, did you see? Oh, did you see? Oh, what a time you're going to have if you get to heaven. What are you going to do? Huh? When you walk up on this, you're going to tell God, God, isn't this gaudy? Isn't this, it's just too much, God. No, you better shut up. You better get on board. Is that right? I said, you better get on board. You better say, God, you like diamonds? I like diamonds. Bring on the diamonds. Is that right? You like gold? Oh, yeah. Too much gold? Ain't no such thing. Build a whole city out of it. Nah, we want gold everywhere. Well, then don't fuss if a brother or sister or anybody has some gold, has some jewelry. That's their business, right? But for you to imply that it's wrong, somehow worldly, it's not modest, it's not, you know, it's shameful somehow. And to bring this and say, well, that could have been sold and given to the poor. That's right out of the mouth of Judas Iscariot. That's a quote of his. He's the one who said that. And people say that just without thinking, have no idea what you have or have not done for the poor. And you want to ask them immediately, okay, what do you do? Huh? What percentage, and percentage makes it equal to all of us, what percentage of your income are you doing for the poor?
Amen.
And so many times they do nothing.
Yeah.
They're hypocrites.
Yeah.
But God can do both.
Yes.
He is the also God.
Yes.
He can do this,
yes,
and this,
yes,
and this,
yes,
and another thousand things,
yes,
at the same time, without the lights flickering in heaven.
Amen.
He's a big God.
Amen.
He's keeping this whole universe going. He can certainly take care of these things. The city, walls of the city were garnished with all kinds of precious stones. And now we're giving scripture to tell you what kind of jewels,
yes,
are there.
Yes, right.
So you can do what? Well, God don't care about that. Really?
Yeah.
The first foundation is jasper. The second, sapphire. Say what? A layer of foundation is sapphire. We ain't talking about a little sapphire. Uh-uh. We're talking about a whole layer of sapphire. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, an emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, a topaz. The tenth, chrysophrasus. The 11th, jacinth. The 12th, an amethyst. Why tell us about all this? So we can go, that disgusts me. All them giant jewels. That ain't, no, see, that just shows you don't know God. Because he picked it out. It's his choice. He made these to start with. If he didn't like gold, he'd have never made gold. If he didn't like diamonds and emeralds and rubies, he'd have never made them. If he makes them and he goes, ain't this pretty? What do you go?
Yes.
Yeah, God. I like it. Huh? You like it? I like it. And he talks about the gates were of 12 pearls, and the street of the city was pure gold as transparent glass. This is God. Don't let people tell you otherwise. God, you want to call this flashy? You want to call this gaudy? Then you don't know what it is. This is beautiful.
Yes.
This is nice.
Yes.
This is fine.
Yeah.
This is royal.
Yes.
This is divine.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Say it out loud. Lord, thank you
for
making all these rich things, these fine things,
these
beautiful things.
Beautiful.
I rejoice in them down here. I'm looking forward to them up there. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And our time's up again today, but keep shouting about it till the next time we see you here in Faith School. I sure enjoyed being with you again this week. The Lord's helping us out so much. Are you seeing that as a good father and as a vastly rich father, he wants us to enjoy some things and to have some things? Years ago, Phyllis and I realized that the Lord was dealing with us to make a vision list and to write things down that we would like to have, like to be able to give, like to be able to do for others. And so we'd write them down and release faith for them and sow for them and believe for them. And some of them have taken years to come to pass, but they've come to pass. We've had all kind of amazing things happen that didn't know how it could ever have happened. God wants you to do that. So you and your family, sit down, write down, release faith. Father, I ask you, show all those that are joining with us the things that they should ask for. Not just needs, but things they'd like to have, things they would enjoy to have beyond the needs. Show them what to release faith for and how to believe for it. And I join faith with them. You are the good, good Father, the good, good God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Thank you, Father. I'm believing for it with you. Let us know. Send us a testimony. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.